This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Merry Christmas!
I love the season.
It's my favorite time of the year.
Getting the feels.
Cheers me up.
Makes you feel very warm inside.
It just makes me feel good.
From all of us to all of you, have a Merry Christmas. From News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is hour number three of our get together, 8:07 time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. I mean, your top story, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, it's still the conversation is centered on drones. Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of it. I want some answers. So joining us now, Nanette Hold from Epoch Times. She wanted some answers. She's not always in the reporting side of the business, but in this case, because of her interest in it. Well, let me start with this. Good morning, Nanette, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always good to be here.
I see you're in the festive mood. I love the horse-drawn sleigh sweater. Yes.
Well, and I parked my horse-drawn sleigh outside, so.
I thought I heard some jingling bells when she pulled up.
Just make sure you clean up after yourself.
Yes, sir. Good point. I'll do it.
So, thank you for joining us again today. You had a very compelling conversation with somebody who was a commercial pilot. He was also in the Air Force. This guy has plenty of experience, and he's a licensed pilot for drones. He's licensed. So give us the short stuff of what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, the first thing he said is the government, they have to be lying to us. And just to get right to the point, he agrees with President Trump that one should be taken down immediately and the intelligence gathered. That was something that President-elect Trump said on Friday. So, he says that whatever's going on with these drones, if it's not a military operation, and the military has some leeway, obviously, that the rest of us don't, but if it's not a military operation, the drones are blatantly illegal, and it's not being enforced, because once they get over 400 feet, which most of them are, they have to coordinate with air traffic control. And what he's so confused about is he says air traffic control seems completely oblivious. Meanwhile, he is a commercial airline pilot flying through that area, which he says is the most congested airspace in the world. So now we have drones that he says are posing a safety threat to airline passengers in that area of New Jersey and New York.
I'm very uncomfortable with the lack of information. Now the government can play games with us in terms of, you know, what it is. But when they say they're not military, you know, they're not Department of Defense, and they're not an adversary, and they pose no harm. Well, to me, it would be, well, then why don't you tell us what it is if you're trying to hide behind, well, it's a secret mission or secret testing. Well, the cat's out of the bag. Everybody's seeing them. You don't think our adversaries are onto this whole thing? So why wouldn't they just now? Why wouldn't they just come out with the truth? And the other thing is we have satellites positioned everywhere. You can track these things. It doesn't matter whether it's in real time or not. You just track them and figure out where they're going. That would probably help to solve the mystery.
Well, and that was one thing he pointed out. He said, look, you know, there's no way that the government doesn't know. And as far as I know, that's still been the official line. Like, there's nothing to worry about. However, we don't know what this is, and we're really trying to figure it out. That's been the official word. The Pentagon actually came out on Wednesday and said this is not a military operation. And but he says, look, it's either blatant incompetence or lying, because these drones don't have an unlimited range. They have to go with a battery power. These are big drones. They're heavy. It takes a lot of energy to keep them vertical. It's not like a plane that can glide. So for them to navigate back to their base, it wouldn't be far to follow them. He's just bewildered as a pilot and very concerned. So.
You said he mentioned the fact that we have capabilities to jam signals, which when you jam the signal of a drone, well, it kind of goes, not crash lands, because you want to preserve it, but it takes it out of the sky, doesn't it?
Right. You know, he did say that we have to be careful. People say, shoot them down. Well, you don't want to shoot them down over an area where it could hurt somebody. You want to be able to gather the intelligence. He said, but it's very easy to force them down. They have something that looks like a gun, but it has antenna coming out of the side, he said. And you point it right at the drone, and it forces it down. It jams its signal. By the way, he said, any drone over half a pound, which clearly these are over half a pound, it has to send a signal identifying what it is, who it is, so that air traffic control can coordinate. Sometimes these drones do need to go up for official purposes, and air traffic control will reroute planes, but they're not doing that. They're just continuing to send the planes right into the area of the drones and not requiring any identification from the drones. He says that the pilot chatter is really reaching an interesting pitch. He said, you know, clearly some people are reporting things as drones that are planes, but the pilots are seeing these things, and they want to know what they are. They want to know if there's a danger to the, you know, people they're piloting around. Quite concerned.
One of the things that I surmised, and others too, was are they sniffing? Are they sniffing for a radiological, you know, a bomb, or just, you know, radioactivity that's coming into our airspace or whatever, or something else, biochemical type thing, warfare or accident, anything like that? They would have to tell us, right? Wouldn't that be military and part of a military operation?
Well, I talked to him about that. You know, clearly some of these things can be classified and they don't have to tell us. However, you know, he's coming out of the Air Force recently, so it's not like one of these airline pilots that's been out of the Air Force forever. Mm-hmm. He's familiar with the tech, and he said, we don't need drones for any of that. We have tech that can do all of this out of sight. We don't need to be alarming the public. He's completely bewildered. There's a concern about what does this say to the rest of the world about our strength or our weakness? And he says, you know, I don't expect to see any drones like this if they're from an foreign entity after January 20th, when President-elect Trump takes office. He says, you know, that it's just going to change the whole dynamic. But for right now, he does feel like there's danger.
So we're either being lied to, or the people in charge are completely inept, and I just don't see how they can claim, well, it's not a foreign adversary and there's no threat to civilians. How you can say that with any level of confidence and not really know what it is?
Very concerning. He feels strongly that it must be some kind of military operation and that the government is lying. But, you know, some of your callers earlier pointed out some really important points. Just the fact that the Department of Homeland Security is now saying, boy, we'd love to know more about these drones, but and do more and react more. But Congress would really need to expand our powers to be able to do that. And, you know, we've been asking for years and they haven't done it. That's a really interesting thing.
Create a threat and then have constitutionally the lines maybe not broken, but bent, so that they can have more power, more surveillance power, additional power, just like after 9/11.
It's happened before.
And, you know, who would possibly misuse that against us, the people, right?
Well, and exactly. And once you give those powers, they're hard to take away.
Maybe they're there to erase chemtrails. And if they tell us they're there to erase chemtrails, then that would blow the lid off that conspiracy theory. And indeed, it is chemical stuff in the air.
When we've got a guy as smart as the source that I spoke with, and he's baffled and worried,
that's concerning in itself.
That's very concerning. He used words like major concern,
wow,
major safety risk.
Where's my foil? I need to make a hat.
I don't know. I'm making mine out of a manhole cover.
You're just going for protection is what you're going
That's
for.
Right.
That's right.
Objects could be flying and falling from the sky soon, especially if we don't get answers.
All right.
You know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Well,
thank you so much. It is always a pleasure. We love to talk to you. Nanette Holt from Epic Times.
Great to see you. Merry Christmas.
All right. lot more where that came from. Immigration, Border Patrol, Ivy League stuff. What are they doing now? It's all coming your way. Happy Monday, 97.3 The Sky.
What was that? What is that?
Those are lefty heads that popped off when they saw that Trump was Time Magazine Man of the Year. Yeah, I was exact.
Person sound covers both. Or well, that covers all the genders, all 56 of them.
Whatever.
Yeah.
If using the term man in most occasions, like in the Bible and things, is good enough.
As in mankind?
Yes.
As in man and woman? Yeah. It covers, yeah.
Which the problem is, you know, if man were kind.
Yes. Yes.
Or mankind.
Good point.
Man ugly.
Yeah.
Man ugly. Anyway, so yeah, apparently the lefties, they're crying. In here in the article, Olivia Rondeau, this is from Breitbart, liberals are calling on their peers to cancel Time Magazine. Not trying to be like know-it-all or anything. We've got to get away from using that term liberal. If you're one of those people that gets irritated when the word democracy gets thrown around when we're a constitutional representative republic, mm-hmm. if that kind of irritates you, the liberal thing should really irritate you. Liberal, by today's standards, applied to most Democrats, would be an incredible, nice thing to say.
Oh, yeah. Be a great compliment
yes.
compared to what they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is liberal means open-minded. Okay? And old-school liberals were very open-minded. And so we love to pile on about how open, like they're a little too open-minded, and we'd pile on. But today, they're very closed-minded. They don't want to have a discussion. They do not want to have a debate. If the idea of Trump comes up, they'll say things like, he's a liar. When asked further to explain what's the nature of this lie we're talking about, they don't have an answer. So they don't want to debate. They just echo and repeat and parrot these things because they don't really want to look at it. They just want to follow along with they're lefty friends. So that's why we use the term lefty instead of liberal. They're left of center. Now, of course, that could be a wide, wide swath, you know, but not liberal. There's just not any liberals left in the Democrat Party. If there are, there's a handful. But according to this article, liberals are calling on their peers to cancel Time Magazine after the publication named President-elect Donald Trump its 2024 Person of the Year. A title has been given to well-known figures, regardless of political views or controversy. You see, yeah, I think it was Hitler got it 1 year, right? It's not, yeah, Hitler did, Stalin did, Khrushchev, Ayatollah Khomeini. So it wasn't necessarily for the best Person of the Year.
And it's never really supposed to be.
It was based on, influence.
Impact.
Yeah, the impact and mm-hmm. the influential factor and all of that. And that's why you would get, a polarization of what we simply would say, you know, good guys or bad guys. But why is it that the left reacts so harshly? It's because it is Trump. It is the part of the derangement syndrome. They didn't see huge cancellations back in the day when, like I say, when Hitler or Stalin or Khrushchev or even Ayatollah Khomeini. They didn't see people wanting to unsubscribe altogether. They might not have liked the choice. But now, Trump. And instead of writing it off and go, yeah, sometimes it's an evil person. I think he's evil. You're entitled to that opinion. Of course, I'd like to see you be able to back some of these statements up, and they never will. But it is interesting. It's like, no, we can't stand it. We're going to take our ball, and we're not going to play. But that's not the idea of how America was founded. It was founded on the idea that you could have a debate, and that debate was not only healthy, but really necessary. That's one of the reasons why we're given freedom of speech. Of course, it hinged mostly on the freedom to express yourself politically, because that had been the great bad thing to do. Like, say, about a king. You wouldn't say bad things about a king while living in the kingdom.
No. Well, once. You can do it once.
Yeah. And so that was the idea behind it, that we would have good and vigorous debate, that that's healthy. Now, the left doesn't want to engage anymore. They just want to have their way. It is an interesting dynamic that has shaped up. Mm-hmm. United States will never be played for suckers again on the global stage. So says Florida Republican Congressman Brian Mast, who outlined his priorities for leading the House Affairs, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, pledging to enforce an America First agenda and provide a colonoscopy of State Department activities.
What?
Yeah, he's going to get downright medical with those people.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Talking about a probe.
Oh. Yes, every nook and cranny will be thoroughly examined. He announced his ambition plans, a newly selected chairman, signaling a sharp pivot toward America First. He said, I always love fighting for America. And he says the fight, his fight now, is going to take a little bit of a different angle after having been selected to serve in this new position as chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Mast is a decorated U.S. Army veteran who lost both legs during his military service in Afghanistan, declared that his tenure would focus on ensuring every diplomatic action and taxpayer dollar serves American interests. So sounds like he's got the right idea. Sounds like another a fantastic pick from President-elect Trump. We still don't have any real concrete answers about what's going on in terms of the drones. And I thought that was a wonderful talk we had with Nanette Holt from Epic Times, where she had interviewed a successful pilot, military, commercial, also licensed to operate drones, and some of the insights there. If for whatever reason you missed it, you can always get it on the Bob Rose Show podcast. And you can get that off the Odyssey app or wherever you normally get your podcast. Click on subscribe. And I thought there were some good things that were shared with us there. We'll dig in once again on that drone issue. Also on immigration and Chris Rock. Yeah, it's all coming your way. We are full service, especially on a Monday, because we want to make it great. It is 8:28, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Nothing like a good old tea party to set things right, huh? Good morning and welcome. It is 8:34. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's this day in 1773 in the Boston Harbor.
Yes.
You're probably figuring it out by now. A group of Massachusetts colonists disguised as Mohawk Indians board three British tea ships and dump 342 chests of tea into the harbor.
Who doesn't love a good tea party?
Exactly.
Well, besides the U.S. government IRS. A few years ago. Yeah, big time.
The Midnight Raid, popularly known as the Boston Tea Party, was in protest of the British Parliament's Tea Act of 1773, and that was
don't touch our tea with a tax.
Yep, it was designed to save the East India Company because I guess they were having problems, and it was going to lowering its tea tax and granting a virtual monopoly on the American tea trade. Yeah, so the low tax allowed the company to undercut even tea smuggled into America by Dutch traders. Many colonists viewed the act as another example of taxation tyranny. So, yes, this day in history. What else is going on? I told you that the Gators are going to be, this is no new news. Gators are playing in the Gasparilla Bowl, but it's really just a reminder because it's this Friday at 3:30 in Tampa. The Gators will play Tulane. The Bucks won their game yesterday, 40-17 over the Chargers. That's a big win. That's a pretty good football team that they beat, and they beat them pretty soundly. Jags lost to the Jets. Dolphins lost to the Texans. And Navy upset Army. Army with a strong team this year, but still, Navy came out on top, 31-13. Actor-comedian Chris Rock used his opening monologue on Saturday Night Live to take a few parting jabs at Joe Biden, joking that the president gave the middle finger to America when he preemptively pardoned his son, Hunter. Chris Rock hosted SNL this weekend, wasted a little time in unleashing a series of political jokes. Joe Biden pardoned his son, Hunter. I got to hand it to Joe, man. You know, he don't move fast as he used to. He don't talk as fast as he used to, you know. But that middle finger still works, boy.
Wow.
He also briefly touched on President-elect Donald Trump's victory. Trump had a good year, man. Trump's survived an assassination attempt, and won the presidency, again, by winning the popular vote. Just named Time Man of the Year. You know, it could happen to a nicer guy.
Wow.
That's all right. Let him have some fun, right? Biden, of course, issued a blanket pardon of his son Hunter that covers the past 10 years. That means Hunter Biden can no longer be prosecuted for his alleged actions, including gun charges and tax evasion. And a recent poll showed just 2 in 10 Americans approve of his decision to pardon his son.
Wow.
Aren't you surprised it's that low?
I am, because you got to figure a lot of those folks are on the left, but we've heard a lot from the left saying, hey, uh-uh, no.
I actually took politics out of the equation and said if I had the power to pardon my son, even if he was a blank up, a mess up, I would probably do it rather than see him go to prison.
Right.
As a father.
Sure you would.
So that's why I take kind of the political thing out of it. And it's interesting that so few people, you know, it's not like I'm happy with it. But I'm not the least bit surprised by it. I'd be shocked if he didn't do it.
Well, you were calling it way back that there was no way when he first said he wasn't going to, you're like, yeah, right. And he's going to.
And nobody positioned it like that. Are you serious? You're a father that might have the ability to keep your son out of prison and you won't exercise that possible ability or authority? They never positioned the question that way.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy. Speaking of Joe Biden, he urged Congress to do something. Joe, what do you want him to do? I don't know. Do something. Actually, he was referring to gun control.
Imagine that.
Because it was the 12th anniversary of the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary.
Oh, yeah.
He released a 5-paragraph statement to mark the tragic anniversary, noting the attack resulted in the creation of Moms Demand Action and Gabby Giffords' Gun Control Giffords. Now, gosh, that happened a while ago. That's 12 years ago.
Yeah.
12th anniversary. But wasn't this a troubled child who allegedly didn't have access to a gun because the mother knew he had issues and so kept it locked?
Yeah.
So if you want to get to the locked gun, the easiest thing the kid realized in his own twisted brain was, oh, I'll just kill my mom.
Right.
And that way she won't resist me getting the gun.
And how many times have we seen? Well, pretty much every time. None of the laws that they want to put into effect would have prevented what happened.
Wait a second, Greg.
Yes?
What about this gun control law?
Okay, which one?
You're not allowed to kill your mother or your father to gain access to guns.
Well, it only works if it's followed. There's that little technicality.
Oh, well, how do you get him to follow it?
You pretty much can't.
Oh, so...
because they're free will
people. That's why gun control doesn't seem to be effective because it's not?
Well, see, it's the same scenario where the same people say we need to get rid of drug laws because people are going to do drugs anyway, but they still want to apply it to guns because they think it's a double. It's kind of a,
that
like
is
one
interesting.
Will work to the, because they want it and the other one wouldn't work because they don't.
So you're saying there are some people that are dead set on doing something that may be harmful to themselves or someone else, and no matter how many laws or rules are in place, if that person can do it, they will do it.
Chicago, Illinois. Every day.
Okay.
Every day.
What about places that don't have guns, like England?
They usually have a really high number of stabbings and clubbings. In fact, I believe more people are killed by probably things like clubs or knives there than we have killed by AR-15.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that is true.
So I know facts matter and they get in the way of a good lefty agenda, but they still matter.
The departing president, Brandon, mentioned the gun control he signed in 2022 and repeated the now debunked claim that homicides and crime fell on his watch.
Yeah,
well, he said it, but remember the FBI had to go back and revise their numbers because they did a whatever. There was a terrible way in which they collected the data, and it wasn't done.
As we're seeing, as was, I believe, kicked in January of this last year, places like Illinois and Chicago, where if you change something to no longer be a felony, then crime numbers drop.
Right.
Now, the crimes didn't drop, the actions didn't drop, but we recategorized it so it looks better.
And when they redid the numbers, it showed that in reality, violent crime rose 4.5% on his watch.
Whoops.
Yeah. But it didn't stop him from, again, it over and over again.
He does that with Virginia, and just you go on and on. He just keeps saying things that we know aren't true.
Biden used the last paragraph of his Sandy Hook statement to call for universal background checks, a red flag law, gun storage laws, and a ban on assault weapons like the one used at Sandy Hook. He did not mention the gun used in the attack was lawfully purchased, then stolen from the lawful purchaser and used in that heinous crime. He also didn't mention that California has every law that he called on Congress to pass, yet California led the nation in active shooter incidents in 2021 and 2023. So, yeah, don't pay attention to the data or the science when it interferes with an overall agenda.
Yeah.
Apparently that's kind of how it works. Then there's the actor Michael Rapaport. If you saw him, you'd probably recognize him. But he's a big supporter of Israel. And he said he would love to put Democrat Jamal Bowman on a plane. Yeah, because he was calling out the his Free Palestine stuff during his final speech as congressman. Offered Bowman and other squad members a free trip to the West Bank so they can enjoy the heat of the war-torn area. Yeah, Rapaport was quite angry with Democrat squad members and their support of the Hamas side of the conflict with Israel. He took to his X account to strike back after Bowman delivered his farewell speech after losing his bid for re-election. Yep, he said, 7 days in Judea, Samaria on me. I'll add 150 day per diem. You guys down?
Wow.
And he sent that specifically to Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush.
Free tour.
Yep. Rapaport, who you guessed is Jewish, have been very concerned with the ongoing hostage crisis concerning the Jews snatched up in the murderous Hamas terrorists on October 7th. In fact, related to that is a story where one Hamas official has actually come out and said, October 7th ruined us.
Wow.
Meaning from the Hamas perspective, that was a very foolish move in what they did, because it did. It drew the sympathies of folks around the world, and they were able to see clearly an act of terrorism against the most innocent. And it wasn't like lobbing a bomb into a building, not knowing who you're killing. You were hunting down, raping, killing, murdering women, children, babies. Yeah. So that not good if you're in the PR business for Hamas, to say the least. It's 8:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we've got a lot more to talk about. The Ivy League colleges warn their foreign national students. The warning of terrorism or what? It does start with a T. I'll share it with you next on 97.3 The Sky. It's another day in paradise, my friends. Yeah, no, a little overcast. I mean, you know, it's nothing great from that standpoint, but
we're not shoveling snow.
Indeed, not driving on ice.
Oh man,
which is not fun.
Watched some video over the weekend of some places who are dealing with the whole black ice thing, and we grew up with that. Where you, I had somebody telling me they were from here, and they were talking about moving up north to Wisconsin. I said, you need to watch videos on black ice. They're like, well, what's that? I go, no. You got to watch the video. So she did. She's like, well, what do you do? I said, you just hold on. There's nothing you can do, or you don't go to Wisconsin.
Put your head between your legs and kiss your rear end goodbye.
I mean, because there's not a school desk to get under, you know? Come on.
There's that, too. 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. Welcome, welcome to the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. And it is Monday, so we try to make Mondays great. I haven't gotten any real answers on the whole drone thing, really. Just more speculation, and actually more government officials kind of scratching their heads. It's not a comfortable place to be, well, for anybody right now. Very uncomfortable. What do we know, though? Well, we know this. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, they're dropping hints about where they're going to head kind of when it comes to their DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. What will it focus on? Will they really be able to trim federal spending when the new administration takes over? Musk is the wealthiest person in the world who is known for his ambitious goals. He has set his aim to slash $2 trillion in federal spending under the initiative.
Wow.
While Ramaswamy, a billionaire in his own right, has said entire agencies will be deleted.
As they should be.
Under DOGE's recommendations. Yeah, but you're just going to hit delete?
Well, I don't know. Depends which ones they are.
Yeah, true. Now, you know, a lot of this... we don't want government waste. We don't want these, you know, parts of it that exist for no really good reason. But, you know, behind a lot of this are people.
That's true.
And they're not all like, yeah, lucky fat cat, do nothing kind of a position. So I wonder how they're going to take any of that if they are into account. In other words, if you go, well, it's not our fault that you work for, you know, XYZ Department of Education. Sorry. Too bad. Or are they going to try to save, if you will, people who have, I don't know, maybe proven that they're industrious, hard workers, that they maybe people around them weren't, but they were shrewd with a dollar or whatever?
Yeah. Is it, or is this a little Trumpism? Just like he says, all right, 25% tariff on you, you and you. You get a tariff to get people in line. Then he works his way through. They come to a good answer. Maybe the whole organization, the alphabet, you know, agencies don't necessarily go away, but maybe they're trimmed. Maybe they get in line. Maybe they actually do what they were intended to do in the first place before they just grew and grew and grew.
And bloated and, yeah, don't really answer to anybody.
That's what I'm hoping, really. Yeah.
2 days after the previously cited post, DOGE flagged that the Department of Defense had failed its seventh straight audit last month, noting that the DOD once again cannot fully account for its budget, which is $824 billion. When Musk saw the news about the Pentagon's latest failed audit, he wrote on X, "Sounds like a job for DOGE." DOGE and its co-leads have vowed repeatedly to end telework for federal employees and flagged the Biden administration's last-minute deal extending 42,000 Social Security Administration employees' work-from-home privileges for another 5 years. 5 years. Look, I get it. If you're told to go home and to work from home, I would understand that there would be a period where they would have to warn you that you are going to be, you know, coming back to work. I think that would only be fair. But how long would that period of time be? 5 years? Wow. Yeah, that sounds a little ridiculous, doesn't it? And of course, he did it on purpose so that this will be in place before Trump actually takes over.
Of course.
On January 20th. I don't think working remote is a bad thing. It might be a little more difficult to police.
Yes.
That's the thing. Right. But there's definitely ways to measure productivity very, very simply and very easily, people that are working remote. But, yeah, they'd rather have command and control, and maybe sometimes it is advantageous to have them there close to the center of the action. Well, let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines to talk to Richard, who's a federal employee. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking my call. I'm a retired federal employee, but I can tell you that when they go to shut departments down or downsize, no federal employee will actually lose their job. What happens is they downsize by what they call attrition. So people who retire or move to other jobs, they just don't backfill those positions. So even if they start shutting down, let's say, Department of Education, none of those employees will lose their jobs unless they offer them another position that they choose not to take. Then you get a pink slip.
Ah, well, thank you very much for the explanation, which
Sounds like that's what needs changed.
Well, but I'm not necessarily against that because, because if you do it through attrition, you really eliminate all pain. Nobody is being fired.
True.
Now,
true.
I know it'll take longer to recoup. You've got, all these labor costs going out. But if you've eliminated other huge budgetary things that these departments are supposedly doing with all that money, I still think you could see substantial savings without the pain of somebody suffering and having to lose their jobs. Now, yes, it's too hard to fire some federal employees even when they are doing a terrible job. And that's the part that I think needs to be fixed. And also, he said, yeah, if you turn it down, then, you're on your own. If you turn down the opportunity that's provided to you. But, look, they're going to be, Bob Seger said it, running against the wind to really try and make, real cuts to the size of our government. It is not going to be an easy task. Switching gears real quick. Well, what do we got? About a minute. Several major universities have warned their international students who went to their home countries for winter break, they better hurry up and return, they're warned, before President-elect Donald Trump gets into office in January. Yeah. Like they think somehow he's not going to allow them to come back in. These are students, legitimate students, enrolled in universities. Well, like at least 10 of them are talking the same message. USC, Brown, University of Pennsylvania, MIT, they've urged their international students to be back stateside before January 20th. The lefties, still as nutty as ever. All right. Coming up, the 9 o'clock stretch. We'll catch up on anything that you may have missed. We've got all the headlines lined up, and we've also got things that make you smile. It's all on the way. News Talk 97.3 The Sky.